I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hope you're all having a tremendous Wednesday, running around, grabbing the last second stuff before Thanksgiving. I do have to make a Costco run here in about 2 hours. Looking forward to that.
Ooh, that's going to be a tough one.
Yeah.
Day before. I pray for you.
I appreciate that.
That is going to be a tough scramble.
Wait,
what are you looking
for? Costco today?
Looking for pies late, or because I think pies will be gone. Turkeys, man, turkeys will still be in there.
Yeah, they're frozen though, right?
Yeah.
I need a fresh turkey. Anybody got a fresh turkey? I'm not cooking till Sunday. So I was thinking, and by the way, our fridge downstairs went killed over on us.
You flying to Boise, you driving?
Oh, I'm driving.
If you're driving, I would take your car and stop. They've got a couple of different local farms up there that you could grab a processed turkey from. You might be able to get a post-Thanksgiving discount on
that's it. That's what my thought was.
And if you need to turn it yourself, do it. Just if they're like, yeah, we don't have any process, be like, I'll take Tom over there.
Tom over there is like thinking he
put
got
the
spared
feathers
for
myself.
A year. He's like, oh, I made it. And then here's
Tom's high-stepping.
Who's this schlub from Utah coming by like, I want that one. Oh, man.
Why does he got an axe? My favorite Far Side, probably one of the top all time, is the blind farmer that's walking through the turkey farm and all the turkeys are mooing.
Yeah.
It's so good.
By the way, kids these days don't know how great the Far Side was.
Oh, the Far Side dominated the comedy world for a long period of time.
Every Sunday, there were two you went for, Calvin and Hobbes and the Far Side.
Yeah. And the Far Side was always first for me.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
So, Stanford. You know what? Let's put Stanford aside. Jaren Hall.
Okay.
Staying or going?
Going.
You think he's going? I'm having a hard time deciding on Jaren Hall. I don't think Jaren Hall or Cam Rising are going to get the evaluation that they're hoping for.
Do you think Jaren Hall knows what he's going to do right now?
No. Not 100% sure, no.
So you're believing his cuts then?
That's what I was asking, because he said after the game, I don't know, I'm going to take 3 weeks, blah, blah, blah. And when I hear that, my initial thought is, you know what you're doing.
I actually don't think he does. Because I think he's a pretty self-aware person, and I think if he's looking at the body of work from this year, he's probably thinking it could have been a lot better. Whether I was healthy or unhealthy or however this worked out, he had some great moments. Earlier in the season, he had some great moments. And if things would have kept with that trajectory, it would have been an easy choice for him. I actually think it's a 50-50 proposition for him. How much money would I make coming back? What does my draft stock look like after I get done with this Colorado or this Stanford game, and after I get done with this bowl game, and after I show up at a couple of camps, maybe put a little bit of time and get a couple numbers out there? What is my draft evaluation? Hawks. Right now, I don't know where it is. I don't have a good feel on it.
What's the timetable on that? You know, guys will ask for feedback. Does that happen about now? Does it happen after the season's over?
Typically after the season's over.
Okay, so he may not know what that feedback is yet.
Not 100%. Okay. No, because there's still work, I think, that he can put in.
Yeah.
I think there's still some recognition he could probably get with a couple of great games. So, still some hay that still needs to be thrown on the flatbed and put in the old barn. I did see Puka Nacua and Blake Freeland both accepted invitations to the Reese's Senior Bowl.
Which doesn't have to be for seniors, but it can include players that are about to declare eligible for the draft.
But you don't have to declare for the draft if you play in it.
No.
Is that right?
Well, I thought so, but now I'm hearing maybe that's not the case. It does feel like a strong indication like they're going.
Well,
they used
to be really strict on those senior bowls, yeah, because those senior bowls are where a lot of us found and signed with agents. And nowadays, college kids already have their agents. Or at least a form of agent that probably is a leak into the next step, yeah, agent if they're not going to take it. But it feels like most of these kids have some type of agent nowadays.
Sure seems like it, yeah. Or agency.
Which is also a big old blurry gray area that it's, oh, don't look at that. But you got sharks that are managing these kids now. There's some good ones. I don't want to call them all sharks. But there are some people out there looking to take advantage of people. And they're willing to put a little money into it in the front end to get big money out of it in the back end. And that is another world that's very, very difficult to manage because there's a lot of manipulative people in that world. I wasn't a big-time draft pick, and I had 8 or 10 agents that were whining and dining me, flying me out to San Francisco, putting me in the W Hotel in a penthouse, giving me thousands of bucks to go do what I need to go do, go work out, go train, go buy something, help get in a car, whatever. And I wasn't even a big-time draft pick.
Yeah.
And those dudes weren't doing it because, oh, man, we really like this guy and he's got a nice wife. They were doing that because it's like, well, if this guy has a 10-year career, we've got a potential to take maybe $1.5 million off him. So there's sharks out there that are looking to take advantage of it. So the old days with the Senior Bowl, you go to those bowl games and you're signing with an agent. That's where they all hang out and they're looking for the best talent, yeah, and giving you big-time lip service on what they can do for you. I don't know if that's still the case.
I'm going to look into that. Because I think it's interesting. Who is eligible for the Senior Bowl? Let's see. All right. We'll look at this during the break. Hans and Scotty live at Tim Daly Infinity. We got a lot of jazz gear. You can come by, grab some jazz gear, hang out with us, 4550 South State Street. There is a little bit of chocolate left, too, if you want to come by and grab some of that. But I suggest that you probably hurry. It's all right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
I turn my preaching responsibilities over to Reverend Kinahan. Amen.
Reverend Kinahan. I've heard you called a lot of things, but never Reverend Kinahan.
Hey, I am an unordained minister.
Ministering to the masses, weekdays from 6 to 10.
I don't need to be ordained. My ministry speaks for itself.
You are so full of it, it's spectacular. I enjoy that.
Nope.
Reverend Kinahan.
You speak the truth as you see it, and you get blasted for it. So be it. I'm content. My maker is satisfied with me.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10. Presented by Murdoch Hyundai, Utah's number one Hyundai dealer for 16 years in a row on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans Preds and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hope you're all having a tremendous day. It's a Wednesday, which means it's a Cougar Preview Show day. And BYU in action coming up on Saturday when they hit the road to Palo Alto to take on Stanford. What do we know about Stanford? They stink.
Well, they're undisciplined and they're soft.
Which is two characteristics of a David Shaw team that you didn't quite expect. If I would have told you that 5 years ago,
I'd have said you're crazy.
No way. Not a chance.
I'd have said you're crazy. And I know that they're undisciplined and they're soft because I just watched them play against Utah and did film study, full breakdown on that game. Things as ridiculous as a complete bailout on a fourth and whatever it was, seven or something like that at the beginning parts of that game, to the point where even if it wasn't a called fake punt, the punter takes that snap, Scotty, and he's standing back there. And if you look on film, you wouldn't believe the room off the right side. So undisciplined. Corners just streaking down the field. You know, your second set of punt returning line all bailing out, not even looking to see if the ball is gone. Not a single person standing there to hit contain to force that punter back inside. I wanted to throw up on it. That is so lazy, undisciplined, and it is not David Shaw. And it's really unacceptable to be that level. I know Utah hasn't shown a fake punt this year that I can remember.
Don't think so.
Lloyd, am I missing a fake punt?
No, I do not believe so.
I think that was Utah's first, but that doesn't matter. You've got to self-scout. You've got to be watching your special teams because these things happen. You know, stuff like that to having a terrible defensive effort on a fourth and one that ended up in a deep ball conversion to Vele. Multiple fourth and ones that were converted. There were so many different moments in this game. Guys not staying home. I'm not saying gadget. It's not gadget. It's complete misdirection on a throwback to an H-back that had one reception to that point in the game. Utah did a couple of things to make Stanford look silly, but BYU should be able to do those same things because Stanford is not a disciplined program right now. Or forget all the smoke and mirrors. Forget all the, well, let's keep them off balance. And just go push them because they don't push back. At least they haven't pushed back yet this season. They just continue to give and give and give. And Utah was able to impose their will, especially on the second half on that Stanford defense. So I don't see a lot from Stanford that is going to make a huge difference in this game against BYU. And BYU should absolutely beat this bad Stanford team.
Yeah. And frankly, it shouldn't even be close. I don't know what the line is, but whatever it is, I think BYU is going to cover it.
I will tell you. So right now, that is BYU heading to Stanford, and they are favored by 6.5.
So that's it?
Yeah. BYU is a 6.5-point favorite.
Withdraw the 401k, folks. I'm kidding.
Well,
don't do that.
Or maybe, no, don't do that.
Max out those credit cards. No, don't, no. So, it's just a joke.
You know how BYU had a 4-game losing streak that was really difficult for them?
Yeah.
Stanford's had two of those.
Yeah. And they just want the season to be over. They're just ready for it to be done.
1,000,000%. And it's got to be heartbreaking for guys like Tanner McKee. And it's got to be heartbreaking for the DeMooney kid, who's been dealing now with injuries in the last couple of games.
Yeah.
And he is one of their better players.
Tremendous player.
Oh,
too.
Yeah. And playing with heart.
Yeah.
And that's hard when you're playing with heart and you don't feel like everybody else is putting in that heart. And I'm sure it's really hard for my cousin's kid. I'm sure it's devastating to him and to my cousin as they're watching his freshman year unfold this way. It's got to be horrifying because you've got to be thinking, we got 4 more years of this because he's redshirting.
Yeah.
Got 4 more years of this? This is how things are going to go. David Shaw's not on the hot seat. Nobody's pressing him to be better. He's not pressing to be better at the end of the season. It'd be nice to see a couple of wins. Like, he should have beat Cal last week and maybe snuck out a win against Washington State and maybe stuck out a win against BYU to close out this season to feel like, all right, yeah, there's no reason to let him go. He got things back together. They got bowl eligible, and they're off and running. They're going to be three games away from bowl eligibility. They're going to finish 3-9 for the second consecutive year. They were 4-8 in 2019, the year before COVID. They can't win. They're terrible. BYU better not lose this game. If they lose this game, then that shows you a complete fall off a cliff, lack of focus. Because Stanford's done. You're right. They've written it off. BYU's bowl eligible, and they're still trying to figure out, who are we as a team? What do we want to be in the future? Who's all in here and who's out? You got Blake Freeland that just committed to this Reese's Senior Bowl. You've got Puka Nacua that just committed to the Reese's Senior Bowl. You've got, what, 30-plus others that were recognized as seniors? What's their focus? You would think that their focus is elite because it is the last opportunity to give these NFL scouts any type of reason to put you on their draft board.
Try to put out as much tape as you possibly can and go out and play, and with good tape too. You got to have really good tape, and you don't have a lot of those opportunities left.
The college flow is really interesting. And I had somebody, because, you know, I put these films together, and I had somebody send a tweet back at me. I don't know if it was a Utah fan or BYU fan. It doesn't really matter, but he sent a tweet back at me, and he said something along the lines of, the lasting memory of you is you didn't do nearly as much with the talents that God gave you as you could have. It was a mean tweet. It was somebody that was really trying to get under my skin. But I am realistic enough to look at my path and look at what I did and be able to internalize that a little bit. Now, he may have meant it like, you didn't do anything with what God gave you. And I tried to do things with what God gave me. I did make an NFL roster, and I did make some good money with my body. But that tweet wasn't completely inaccurate, because I do feel like there was a lull in my college career where you get caught in the doldrums. You get caught in the same dumb drills. And you get caught with the same feelings and the same emotions. And there's nothing to inspire you. There's nothing to, because you've already got the start.
Yeah,
I was by far and away the better starter. Nobody's going to take the start from me. But when you get the start, is it just about the start? Or is it about extending your lead with the start and continuing to increase your potential? This all has a reason that I brought it up. And what happens is, 4 or 5 games left in your senior year, you start to hear the birds and you start to hear the scouts, and you see the scouts out of practice. You start to talk to the coaches that are talking to the scouts. You're hearing, well, what'd they say? Oh, well, they grabbed this game, and this game. And they went in and talked with the strength and conditioning coach. And then you go in and you're like, what'd you tell them? Well, I told them that, you know, you're 90%, 85, 90% on attendance. And all of these things, Scotty, you don't really realize. When you get there as a freshman and you're working through film and you're working through weight training, you don't realize how quick it sneaks up on you. And then when it sneaks up on you, the ramifications of what you did or didn't do, how important it all plays. BYU and these players that I think have NFL potential, Puka, Jaren, Freeland, Barrington, I could go down a list of 6 or 7 guys that have NFL potential. It's like there was this little window that slipped out for a little bit against ECU, and this little window that slipped out against Notre Dame. This misstep in focus, this
not quite hitting the potential. And I didn't hit all of my potential. Maybe I didn't maximize the gifts that God gave me. But a lot of that, I think, was just there was a lack of focus. And I'm hoping that these BYU players aren't in that right now. Stanford should be out of it. BYU should be out of it. And you should get a pretty good game coming up on Saturday. I would hope. But I would expect, if BYU plays to their potential, I would expect BYU to win in double digits.
Certainly would be what I would believe as well. And also, though, I don't think you can trust BYU to do what they're supposed to be doing. Meaning that I don't trust BYU to win a game the way that they should win it. Because I don't know where their mind's at right now. And when you have that many dudes that you celebrated on Senior Day, either you're telling them that you would like them to move on, or they've told you that they're ready to move on. But there's a lot of guys that I don't think are coming back to this team, and I think they know that their season's over. They have zero to play for outside of pride and tape. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's not enough. When you know the season's over, it's been long, it's been difficult, it's been a disappointment, it hasn't gone the way you feel, can you really rely on everybody on that team to play their best football? I don't know if you can.
Well, because Joe Tukuafu is in a different position than Connor Pay. Connor Pay is in a different position than Barrington and Freeland. But are they all on the same page of focus, effort, and ending this season on a nice little four-game win streak? So that's what it would be, right? Boise State, Utah Tech, Stanford in a bowl game.
In
the
bowl game, yes, four games.
Four-game win streak is nice, Scotty.
Yeah.
But are you on the same page with me? Because by the time I got to my senior year, I didn't care bowl game or not. I didn't care. I would have liked to be able to take my wife and go do things. But for me, it was like, holy cow, let's wrap up this season. I'm going to get into my training camps. I'm going to get ready for my NFL numbers, and I'm going to do all of these things. Let's get this season over with. Can these guys keep that focus and finish out with a win against Stanford and a bowl win? Four-game win streak would help seal things up for Kalani. I'm sure Kalani's going to make changes. I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
That's a complete guess, but I'm just lobbing that out there.
Pretty strong educated guess.
You see the writing on the wall.
Yeah.
You know that there were already some changes made. That he vocalized and that BYU vocalized, there were changes made. Those were made internally, but my guess is we're going to see more changes at the end that are probably a little bit more public. Be my guess. If they don't come, I'd be shocked. So, four-game winning streak would help for Kalani to secure things with the coaches that finished out strong. It would help find the guys that could potentially come in and do a great job, because there's names out there that I'm sure Kalani would love to have come in defensively. I would go well out of my way to go get Kelly Popinga, who's at Boise State. Mm-hmm. He is the absolute identity that you want for BYU.
See,
I don't know about the other Popinga, but Kelly...
See, I go to Boise State.
He's brilliant.
I go to Boise State for Frank Miley, but that's my thought.
I would definitely check in on Frank and see where the point of interest would be. Now, I'm only talking from me personally.
Yeah.
And you know I'm biased with Justin Inna.
Yeah.
I'm very biased. I would go check him out. Doing a good job at San Diego State. Go see how things are going there. Sean Newell's name.
Yeah.
Is another name that has built real gold in the world.
Hey, look, I leave no stone unturned. I shoot my shot with any possible opportunity. I don't even care if he's in head coach somewhere, at another school. The money that BYU's got available for them, or should have available for them at the FCS level, I'm shooting my shot on anybody that can come in and help that program out.
The other thing I would do, I would bring Jan Jorgensen in for a very serious interview.
Yeah.
What Jan did at Snow was spectacular. And Snow underachieved this year without Jan.
Correct.
This was the first year that Snow College didn't have Jan Jorgensen in, what, 6 years?
Correct.
And they weren't the team that they were when Jan was there.
Yeah.
So I would bring Jan in and I'd say, all right, I've got position X, Y, and Z. What would you do with it? And if he has a great game plan put together, I would say, you feel like you can make a difference in these positions. And I might give him a look and an opportunity.
If nothing else, a significant part of the staff next year. Not a, what was he?
Like a video analyst.
Or... None of that nonsense. He's a position coach at bare minimum.
Which was great for them to bring him in.
Yes. No, it's true. But now he's. It's really time for him to flex what he can do.
It is. And you've got him there, and you've got an opportunity in front of you. You need some defensive help.
Yeah.
And it's a tough world because those coaches that are there know how to coach.
Yeah.
But for one reason or the other, it all fell short. You can't finish a season with 10 sacks and say, yeah, we got our job done. That's just the tip of the iceberg, by the way. There were a lot of shortcomings defensively.
Hands and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Coming up next, we continue to get you ready for BYU-Stanford. Good friend of the program, Mitch Harper, is going to join us at 2:05. We're down here at Tim Daly Infinity. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
Joining us now, yes, tight end from the University of Utah, Dalton Kincaid. You've played in a lot of different environments now. How does the home field stack up? You know, does that stuff matter when players are picking where to go?
I can't really imagine being a recruit and coming to a home game and just experiencing the atmosphere that Utah has to offer and not fall in love with the place. Can't imagine being like a tight end recruit in high school right now and Utah not being one of the top two schools that you look at. I mean, between us and Georgia and the utilization of the tight end position, I can't imagine another school that you'd want to go to.
Hear Jake Scott and Ben Anderson every day from 10 to noon on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Working with the guy for 15 years.
You know what? Maybe it's just time we move on then.
There's some just key words that Lloyd says that you know that have double meaning. Like when he's really mad at you on an email or he wants you to do anatomically impossible things to yourself, he'll write, have a blessed day. Yep. And then when
really he's saying, I hope you die in a car wreck.
Yes. Yeah.
I would never wish that on you guys.
If I could cut you, well, and it's not just us, it's a lot of people, but there's always that live vibe of like, if you get a text or a tweet from Lloyd or an email that says, have a blessed day, it's his way of saying, I wish I could cut your brake lines in your vehicle and get away with it. Now, there's another key word he uses when you do something and he thinks that you're silly or dumb, and he'll end it with like, sorry, bud. Bud,
all I said was, I'm not seeing that DM, bud. That's there's nothing.
I didn't get that message from you, bud. It's like, all right. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, hey, I did not get that message from you,
didn't get that
Hans.
Message from you.
It's all right. We all have our little key phrases.
You think you know me, but you don't. I wish you did. I wish
we do.
I wish you got to know me a little bit better.
We know you well.
No.
I'm just hoping whatever juju you threw on me doesn't end up landing me in the hospital tonight.
Hey, Thanksgiving is tomorrow. It's been an interesting roller coaster season for BYU. If there's a BYU fan out there that is, you know, grumpy with the team, didn't feel like they overachieved, is there something that you can be grateful for this season for BYU? Is there
something you take away and like, okay, that was really good. That was great.
Can I go first?
You betcha. Because I can't come up with anything.
Oh, I can.
Okay.
Oh, I can. The Boise State win. But it wasn't just the Boise State win. It was the fourth and goal from, I believe it was the six. And it was one of the most incredible catches I've ever seen from a receiver. Those of you that have not seen the Puka Nacua catch against Boise State in the end zone as he's being ripped down.
Oh, careful. Yeah.
As he's being shredded by a defender.
Don't want a David Locke moment here.
Or anybody else.
Yeah.
He is able to spin around, tap a football up in the air to himself, secure the ball as he's almost vertical and taps a toe. It's crazy. As he's still spinning, taps a toe. Crazy catch. That is the one takeaway that I've got from the season. I could throw in the Baylor atmosphere because I was there for that game and I was kind of in the mix of that whole atmosphere, and it was electric. And I'm sure BYU fans that were there that day took a lot from it, and I'm sure the students were grateful for that moment.
If you were there for that game, that's a memory you hold on to for a long time.
It's a great win and a great memory, no question about it, for BYU fans. I would say that...
I mean, I would like to come up with a developmental player that, like, okay, that kid has a chance to be super special down the line. But I don't know who that would be.
Maybe Harper, the safety.
Yeah.
Maybe Cosper or Robinson, the receivers. Or Armin Roberts. Maybe Robinson, the nickel.
I mean, Keanu Hill.
Keanu Hill had a great game against Utah Tech.
35 catches, 570 yards, and 7 touchdowns. At 6'4", 215 pounds, he's a matchup nightmare.
Yeah, he's a great receiver. Maybe the receivers, I think Festus Satake's done a heck of a job with those receivers.
Because early in the year, it seemed like they were losing all the receivers, but yet they were still having a high-level offensive production. But that's kind of diminished as the season's gone on.
Yeah. What else am I grateful for? Is there any gratitude for the level of schedule that BYU played this year? The fact that you got to see Baylor, Oregon, Notre Dame, Arkansas, Boise State, Utah State, Stanford.
It's a heck of a schedule.
Is there some gratitude for that, or is it just disgust and disappointment because you didn't clean the slate?
I think there's a lot of that, because last year BYU had a hard schedule and they went undefeated against Pac-12 play.
Yeah, they did. What was it, 6-0 or 5-0?
Yeah.
But those losses to Notre Dame, Arkansas, and Oregon didn't sting as bad as those losses to Liberty and East Carolina.
Yeah.
I do think that there is a real argument to say, all right, stop for a second. I know Notre Dame hasn't had an undefeated season, and I know Arkansas hasn't had an undefeated season. Two pretty good teams. And Oregon was a decent team that really beat BYU up at the first of the year. I would say those are probably the things. Oh, I'll give you one more thing that I'm grateful for. This is the last year in Independence.
Independence, there you go. Yep. You never have to deal with this again. You'll never have another week 11 bye week ever again. You'll never have nothing to play for. You'll never have the crappy Novembers where you're playing bad teams and don't have anything to play for. Those days are behind you. You had a full decade's worth of that, and it's done. And by the way, I would add something onto it as well. I'd say, you know what, BYU fans, even though it's not necessarily this season, I think you've got one of the best athletic directors in college athletics who navigated a very difficult time, made the hard decision to go independence, which was 100% the right way to go, given the climate in 2010 and navigated it to the best of his ability, brought some great teams to that stadium. You know, the November schedules are really nothing he could do anything about, but he had a lot of great September moments, a lot of great September games, and you became a better team for it. Frankly, if you don't play football in 2020, if you run scared like a lot of conferences did in 2020, and you don't play every game you possibly can and play the schedule that they did, maybe you're not in the Big 12. Because
Zach Wilson's not the number two overall draft.
Exactly.
If you don't make that huge effort.
I mean, look, I think being a athletic director at BYU is one of the hardest jobs in all of college athletics. I don't think it's easy because of what you're dealing with in terms of honor code and a lot of other factors in play.
Especially recently.
Yes. Jeez. Yeah.
People just trying to grab attention by canceling games with you. Or save money.
Yeah, but using you as a scapegoat to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could you imagine being that athletic director?
No.
That's, every time that happens, a situation that had very little substance to it, or at least very little substance ever surfaced from it in a pretty nice investigation.
Yeah.
And every time it surfaces, your coach is under fire, your logo, your program's under fire. Yeah, you're right. That's a tough job to deal with, I'm sure.
Hey, by the way, you've heard some rumors about BYU to the New Mexico Bowl, right?
Yeah.
Here's another reason. This is interesting. This is another reason if you're BYU and or Utah State, why you'd want that bowl game. Because you're going to get a little publicity here. In the likely event that the 2-8 Raiders are flexed out of Sunday Night Football on October 18th, the previous day's Las Vegas Bowl will then move from primetime on ABC to the afternoon on ESPN. That means the New Mexico Bowl would move from ESPN to primetime on ABC. So if you're playing the New Mexico Bowl, which would have been on ABC now, or on ESPN, now gets a primetime on a network station. All because the Raiders stink.
Is that really because the Raiders stink?
Yeah, because they're supposed to play on Sunday night, but they can get flexed out of that. And if that happens, then the Las Vegas Bowl has to move because they play in the same stadium. So the Raiders are now playing earlier, which means they have to move the Vegas Bowl. That means that their network time gets shifted, and that will put the New Mexico Bowl in that ABC prime spot.
On that same day. That makes sense. Be a nice bowl. Get that kind of pub and attention. So that would mean ESPN would be searching for some big names for that bowl.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Or am I overthinking that?
No, I don't think so.
Because if they've got an opportunity to highlight that bowl, then this would be a great opportunity to grab a couple of big names, at least names that have polled well. BYU's got a couple of good wins this year, with wins over Baylor, got a win over Boise State. I don't know if you count that Wyoming win or the Utah State win. Stanford's probably not going to move the needle. But still, BYU will move that needle.
Yeah. Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. We'll chat with Mitch Harper coming up next right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.